You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Walls, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Having the St. John's Waltz. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Discardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And Tom is in transit. And the part of the reason why he can't be on the show is he's in areas that the cell phone loses coverage quite frequently. So we decided that Alex and I would do the show tonight while he's driving. And Alex, how are you, my friend?
Very good, Marco. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And boy, do we have a lineup tonight. We've got some really good guests on again. And I thought maybe, Alex, you'd just like to give a little shout-out to our both to our chat room and a couple of the people out there that we need to greet.
Definitely. We got the chat room's kind of full tonight. Jan and Craig from CBRI. We got Bill Green. Howdy, Bill. We got Jerry and both Marco and me, and we got Mike J, we got Navajo Bigfoot, who gave me some great info tonight. Don't let me forget to tell us. And we got Rex Howdy Shell, and Rosebud, Big Steve, the Gentle Giant. How's everyone doing? Any questions, put them in the chat room. I'll try to keep up with them. Don't private me, because then I can't see the questions from everybody else. So, and we got some great guests tonight, Marco, right? And you've had a pretty exciting week, too. Tom and you have had a great week. So we're pretty lucky.
Absolutely. Well, there's a lot of things going on, folks. Tom will let everybody know probably this week or the week after when we get everything finalized. And we'll make the big announcement. But until then, also, you know, there's a couple things need to do. And we have some people out there that that need to be they need a little help. Kim Walter's mother, and he's her mother is just hanging on. She's still hanging in there though. Alex, your mom, she's still doing all right.
She's hanging in there. Actually, she got some good news. Just some of the tumors are shrinking. So I don't know how good that is, you know, yet. But it sounds like it's not bad. And patient, she was a little weaker. She had radiation, but I told her we were going to be on, and she's going to try to listen. So, hey, Mom, hope you're feeling better. Hello to my sister, Charlene, who's back there taking care of her, too.
And also, well, our guest tonight, Steve Dismore, and he's been going through one heck of a lot of stuff here with that last operation and his back. And, man, he has just been going through some horrible, horrible, painful incidents. But he's on with us tonight. Anyway, I'll tell you what. Why don't we get into our first guest? Everybody knows her, Lisa, Texas. What a super lady. Lisa, hit your *7 button. And Alex? Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
And Lisa's just getting over the flu, too. She had the flu last week. That's why she couldn't be on.
Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo, winner.
I know. Gosh, I tell you, it's going around really fast.
Yeah, so forgive me if I have the little coughing fit, because I'm still holding on to a little bit of it myself.
My gosh. Well, Lisa, you know, I know you haven't had too much of a chance to do much. You've been sick. But you've got so many things in the past. And what we thought tonight, if you'd pick one, you just kind of tell us of one of the encounters that you've had in the past year, or if there is anything new in your, you know, the current things in the last couple of weeks.
Well, as far as lately been going, I've just the usual, again, still the rock throwing, which I get that almost on a nightly basis.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, you know, towards the weekend or on weekends, some family members will be here with me, and we'll go out and see what we can hear or see or, you know, encounter. And, Sunday night, yeah, this past Sunday night, my husband and I went out. And I'll tell you, we were sitting out on the patio, and how we do it, because we're not Bigfoot hunters. We never have been. We're just people that love the outdoors, and we pay attention. And so, really, you know, we have been noticing how they migrate through here, you know, twice a year. And for some reason, this year, they've wanted to hang around. And anyway, so Sunday night, we were sitting out there because we had some rocks thrown at the house. And we went out there, and I'll tell you, I thought we were seeing some, you know, movement and stuff in the darkness because it was really dark out there. And we was hearing what appeared to be footsteps in the woods. And I know this over the radio, but the woods is only maybe 30 feet in front of my house. So, you know, it's real close and all. And I'll tell you, me and my husband got the most horrible feeling. This was not a good feeling. And we had our little chihuahua that thinks she's a Rottweiler with us. And I'll tell you, that dog was begging to get back in the house.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't take it no more. And this is the first time that I've ever experienced that feeling. You know, and the hair just rose on my arms, my neck, and my gut was wrenching. I said, no, I can't. I don't know what this one is all about, but you could just get the feeling it was not good.
Uh-huh.
And so we came back in the house, and, well, Monday morning we get up, and we don't know if it's this or if it's a dog or what's doing it. We kind of find it hard to believe that it's a dog doing it, but our trash cans were just everywhere, strode. And I'll tell you the deal of why I say we have a hard time believing it's the dogs that did it or any dog, you know, is that we have started to we hang our trash cans in just inside our carport outside my kitchen now to keep critters out of them.
Okay.
So we can't see how a dog got these trash cans down.
Oh, God. They're hanging up, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they're hanging up a good 3 feet off the ground.
Wow.
So we, you know, that was the most recent experience we've had, you know. I've heard they've been digging the trash. I don't know, but I heard they have.
Wow. Go ahead, Alex.
Lisa, how far are you from the lake, and how far are you from your nearest neighbor? I did some research on your area, and talked to a few people I know down there, and they say that you're basically right in the corridor for Bigfoot encounters in that area. So you are in an active area. How far are you from the lake, and how far is your nearest neighbor?
Well, I have, there's houses right next door to me, but they're empty, you see, so I really don't have neighbors. And as far as the lake goes, just walking distance. The park that I live in front of is, like, right in front of my house. And,
okay.
You know, before I had the encounter, my very first encounter 4 years ago, we used to walk it all the time. But I'll tell you, when you see one of these things, it changes your life. And I no longer walk to the lake anymore. Unless there is a large crowd, unless, you know, there's a bunch of us, I walk it. But day, night, it doesn't matter. I will not walk no more after what I've seen. What I've experienced now won't happen. So people just don't understand how it changes your life.
Well, I guarantee you one thing, Lisa, we do. I've talked to quite a few people who have had encounters similar to yours, and I'll tell you, they're everybody, not a one that I've talked to. Even one of the kids that was down in Paris, Texas, skateboarding and all that. He's on the movie, but I'll tell you, he was leery about going out skateboarding down by the edge of the forest there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, once you see, especially if you experience one of the massive ones, oh, my.
Gains a lot of respect, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. I'm sorry.
Well, man, I'll tell you, Lisa, I thank you, you know, for coming on and sharing again tonight. We're always happy to have you.
Mm-hmm.
You always bring with you, I like your cheerful attitude, and I like the attitude you have towards, as you said, you're not a Bigfoot hunter or a researcher. You're just average, everyday people that pay attention to nature. And I'll tell you, it's something else. I really admire you folks for, you know, just hanging in there. I mean, there's some other people out here that pretty much moved.
Yeah.
Moved away from the area because of that. But most of these creatures they seem to be not, you know, aggressive in nature. They seem to be sort of peaceful. And I guess there's times when people have had encounters where they've been aggressive, but pretty much not. And of course, if they wanted to, I'm sure they could do wreak a lot of damage with very little effort.
Oh, absolutely, especially the large ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, that you bring that up as far as them, you know, wreaking havoc or doing any kind of damage. You know, the first one that we experienced several years ago, the one that ran in front of us, across the road in front of us, now, I'll tell you, you could see the fear in his eyes. You know, he was running from something.
Right.
You know, so even though he was as large as he was, he was scared. He was running, you know, to get away from whatever it was. And then as far as this one that I've recently encountered here at the window, you know, now that I've actually had time to really sit there and contemplate everything that happened, you know, other than just my own self being scared, you know, this is me and the two kids and no one else around.
Mm-hmm.
And back, you know, really, like you said, if he really wanted to, that he probably could have came through this wall of the house, you know.
Sure.
I think that, you know, they didn't really mean any harm.
Well, all you have to do, Lisa, is our next guest, Steve Dismore, one of those things picked up a great big old log and heaved it at his car.
Oh, my.
Went out there the next day to try to pick it up. And Steve is not a little guy. He's a pretty hefty guy.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't even pick the log up. And that thing threw it just like a piece of...
You know, my goodness.
But I thank you for coming on, Lisa, and I appreciate it. And we'll have you on some more, too. Tom gave you some homework to do. You'll probably be able to do that now that you feel a little better.
Yeah, we're planning on trying again.
Yeah.
And we do believe, though, like that first crowd of them, I don't know what you call them, a pod, a little family.
Yeah, family pods, I guess.
We're pretty sure that one moved on, and what we're experiencing now, you know, with the little bit that's going on now, is totally different one.
Yeah, migration probably. Yeah, this is this is the time for the migration thing. There's a lot of activity going on all over right now.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're gonna try. We're hopefully my husband goes on vacation because he's never really got to get out there and do that with us.
Okay.
Me and my other family members. So.
Well, I'll keep in touch, and we'll you know anything happens, give me a call and me or Tom a call, and we'll get you back on here to share it with us. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. We will. And I plan on going out and taking pictures like across the street here.
Uh-huh.
I just hadn't done it yet. And there's evidence, you know. And
sure.
I would send y'all some pictures of all that.
Well, super. So. Yeah. Well, just your old star, Six Button.
Okay.
Listen to good old Steve Dismore. I'm going to tell you, he got some stuff, too, coming up here. And, of course, Jan Allen, he's one of our guys up in northern Georgia there. They went out this past weekend. They got some things, too. So just hit your star six button and listen to the rest of the show. Thank you for coming on, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alex?
Yes, Michael?
How about Steve? Hit your star seven button, buddy. Come on in. Alex, you got it.
Thanks, Marco. Steve, are you there? How you doing, big guy?
Well, I'm doing. I'm not as bad a shape as I've been in. I've been doing a little bit better this week.
You got out fishing there one day with Laurie.
I was scared this was going to happen. For some reason, I might be coming in good on y'all's side, but I've barely been able to hear y'all.
You're coming over loud and clear here, Steve.
Okay, I can hear you all right, Marco. I didn't barely make out what Alex had said, but I can kind of give you a spill of what things are going on around here. I've been getting myself, for exercise purposes, back out into the woods. And me and my wife's been going with me, that way I'm not alone. And, the lake area up there, the water has really, really fallen down. They've got it sucked down real low this year. And I thought I'd do a little recon around the area while my wife was fishing. And as I was going along the bank there, I noticed that the ground was getting kind of soft. So I kind of stepped back up a little bit further, and as I was walking along, there it was. There was a single 21-inch print where he stepped off in that softer ground there. And I got it casted, and I got it posted up on my Facebook, able to see it. I continued along around the backside of the area there where me and JC and Leonard Dan had went, and I'd found a whole area where there was tree twists all the way down the bank, small saplings anywhere from an inch and a half through to 3 inches through that were twisted completely around into a circle about 3 to 4 feet off the ground. And every day this past week, me and my wife went up there from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to about 9 at night. And it's like a war zone. You can, usually I'll introduce it, but I'll make a few simple whoops, and then it's on. They'll whoop back and forth across to each other around the hills there. And there'll be a lot of rock flapping and a lot of tree knocking. Well, last night while we went up there, it was real quiet. There was no noise. I did the whoops, and I never got no responses or anything. And I thought, well, this little group's either moved on up the woods a ways or they're not very close. So as time went on, and it got good and dark, and I told my wife, I said, I got this weird feeling. Every night we're getting, you know, they're tree knocking at us.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Okay. I said that, I told her, I said, I just don't feel comfortable. So we reeled the fishing rods in, we laid them down. And we just kind of laid down on our little makeshift pad we had there on the bank and talked. And I looked to the south, and she looked to the north on the bank. And I heard something come crashing down the bank over across from us. Couldn't see it at this point. It was too dark. But directly behind us, up where our van's parked at, we could hear something scuffling around in the woods. And I told her, I said, keep an eye on that up there. And lo and behold, I looked over to the south, down the south bank, and here come a silhouette. And it was moving really slow. It was just enough light in the skies to break its silhouette away before I could tell what it was. It was about a 9.5, 10-foot creature just slowly making his way up the bank.
Wow.
Yeah, if I would have had a night vision camera or a night cable camera, I'd have had the perfect photo opportunity. He was walking right along. And he was smart. He wasn't getting over on that soft ground. He was standing up on the gravel edge that was there, and he was walking really slow. And the way I figured it to her, like I told her, was there was three of them coming in to check us out because I'd been making noise all that week. And for some reason, I couldn't figure out why, but they were coming in real quiet tonight. My wife would later let me know that night. She goes, you do know that this is my time of the month. It had just started.
Ah.
And I told her, I said, why didn't you tell me that before we came up here? And I got an idea that those creatures could smell that. And they were coming in for a closer look. They was wanting to see what was on that bank. Their curiosity was perched.
Steve, this is really neat because this has happened before several times. Tom brought this out as well. The menstrual period and the aroma and stuff draws them in. So that's pretty neat. I mean, that's something else.
I mean, I've took my time and tried to go as thorough as I can and cover as much ground as I can. We have had total dry season up until last night around the area where I live. We got over an inch of rain, but up there in Lamb Twin Lakes, it's still dry.
Wow.
So I was lucky to find the one print that I did find. And it's the largest, most massive print that I've ever found. I've never found anything
bigger
like
it. Than the other one you got? The one where you got your foot up in there?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely bigger than that print.
Wow.
If you look on my MySpace page, well, my Facebook page, you can see where I got my foot, barefoot, landing side. And I stand on the ground.
Don't mind if I take the Facebook page pictures and post them in the feed.
Oh, you go right ahead. Dig to them and find them and go ahead and post them up. And you can see my foot, which is a worse size 13. And I stand there and I weigh a little over 300 pounds, and I pull my foot back away, and you can see that I don't leave any impression in the ground where it left an impression. And this print was relatively fresh because after I cast it and I pulled the cast up, right around where its smaller toes were, its big toe come out good. But the smaller toes, it looked like it kind of, the ground had kind of come in on them a little bit.
Yeah.
So you can pick out the toenails, and there's a little bit of dermal region on there. there's a little bit of dermal ridging in different places all over the cast, but it was kind of a grassy area. It was gravel, real fine pea gravel over the top of sand.
Oh man.
So it's really
good.
You got a
good cast on it too, huh?
Yeah, and I mean you can make out the, if you look through the pictures, you'll see it's got a complete arch. It's got a big tarsal break to it. You can see where the foot actually breaks to middle.
You find any hair in it at all, or?
There's so much that I didn't do with the cast. I'm just keeping it.
Did you find any hairs or dermal ridging?
There's dermal ridging. And there's so much of that fine grass that was growing there, and it's all turned brown. But I don't want to disturb it too much until I get someone else there to help me sit down and really go to look at it really close under some magnification. It's like I say, if I was to probably root around up there a little bit more when I get someone up there with me, there's probably going to be a lot more to be found, because this was around the lake's edge. And we found a lot more sign when me and JC and our dam was up there when we got back up in the woods back by the creek, about a half mile back up in the woods. That's where we found tons of evidence. But where this was found at is the actual bay where we chanced.
And we was right at our same place. Is this the same place where you found those little the fruits and stuff that was you could feed on again?
Yeah, same. It's the same area.
Wow.
And there is a bumper crop of nuts this year. The pecan trees are full. Hickory nut trees are full. Every kind of nut tree there is just barren like you wouldn't believe.
Wow.
What about the mussels and the clams this year, Steve?
They're everywhere. If you were to look out the edge of the water when the water's calm, you can see them out there everywhere. I found several piles where they've been brought in. Now, a raccoon, when he goes out and he gets these mussels or these clams, he takes a rock and he breaks them open. I find piles where a raccoon's got them and broke them open, but I also find piles where they've been pried open. Because even though I'm not strong as I was at one time, I can still take a muscle, get my fingers in there right way, and I can pull them open. So I got a feeling this creature don't have no problem doing that himself. I mean, more than likely he could probably crush the thing with his hands, but just to twist some of these hickory saplings that he's twisting.
You're saying the Kentucky Bigfoot would make a great oyster bar bartender.
Oh, yeah. I think he's got it down pat.
He wouldn't even need to shuckle.
Yeah, he wouldn't even need to shuckle.
Hey, Steve, do me a favor, my friend. When you're still feeling good here and you get back out there, you don't mind. I'll keep in touch with you. And as things transpire, we'll get you back on here to give us some more, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely phenomenal. You're out there doing that stuff and... It looks like it's just super busy all over the country. There's things happening all over right now.
I appreciate y'all giving me your time tonight. I know you got a few other guests. I just want to do a shout out to Rex there. I know he's coming on. Jana, thanks for coming on. Y'all be careful out there because these creatures are going wild this year. I've never seen them act this aggressive or wild this year.
Wow. Well, Steve, thanks a lot for coming on and being a part of the show again. I'll keep in touch with you. We'll get you back on again soon, okay? I knew you were going to keep going back out there, so as soon as something happens, you can call me, anything, send me an email. I'll get a hold of you weekly. I'll just keep in touch with you weekly here. And anything happens, I'll get you back on, and we'll let everybody know what's going on. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Hit your old *7 button, buddy, and listen to the rest of the show. Jan just and his team went out this past weekend. So.
Alrighty. We'll do.
Well, Alec, I want to do a quickie little commercial here, and we'll be right back with Jan Allen.
All right. Make some money.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
You turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who are these prints up in Boston?
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree
somebody manufactured.
The hand was
into the woods.
Female
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie
right now
at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And Alex is back to you and Jan.
Hello.
Jan.
Oh, I do want to probably have a second here while Jan unmutes. Start having Jan. One thing, I was talking to Rob the other night and Youngblood, and I told him that I'd be talking to Steve, and he wanted to pass on some hellos and hobbies and hope you're doing well. Steve, Rob's good buddy. And, he was talking about you the other day. So I owe you a call. Give me a while after the show tonight. I'll probably have some dinner, then I'll get a call if you're going to be up. And, Jenny, are you there yet? Unmute?
Yeah. Yeah, buddy, I'm here.
Excellent. How was the trip?
Oh, man, it was great. We're all still flying high on it. And I tell you what, you know, we didn't actually see one this time, but that I know of, I'm still going over pictures, but as far as eyesight, you know, we didn't see one, but we found tree breaks, we found tree twists, Lord, we found some tree formations, we had one that came up within 30, 35 feet from camp Saturday night that actually fell down, and I heard it when it fell down, and do what now?
Heard
it. I think I got what you're saying, man. Yeah, I was
heard.
Yeah, we were sitting talking over each other. But yeah, no, I was sitting in camp Saturday night around midnight, and everybody, some of the other guys, going to bed, and I heard this big head behind me, and I jumped up, and Jack came over to me. He's like, "What's up, son?" And I told him, I said, "Something just hit the ground right there." And I said, "No, it wasn't a limb." I said, "That sounded like a body hit the ground. It was that, you know, was that hard." And,
well, I'm trying to watch you guys in camp, and it tripped over a log or something like
that. Well, what had happened, I went out the next day, Sunday, before we left. We were breaking down camp. I walked back there and got to looking around, and I found a tree limb that was about an inch and a half to 2 inches in diameter that was split, and it was a fresh split. I mean, it was still solid white. It hadn't turned any color or anything. It was split about 8 inches, and I got to looking, and you could see where this thing had come across the ridge line, and about 20 feet below where this break was is where it turned and started coming up the ridge. And you could see the steps that was doing toe-offs. You wasn't getting the full foot, you was getting toe-offs. And I'm thinking there that due to the terrain, you know, the angle of the hill, and it trying to sneak up on us, you know, as quiet as it could, because there was a lot of leaves on the ground. But it got up to this limb, and what it was a small tree that was growing. It had this about an inch and a half diameter limb coming out of it. And what I think happened was it grabbed this limb, and the limb split, and when it split, he lost his balance because we found what looked like a knee impression right up under it. And that would explain the heavy hit that I heard. But we never seen anything, you know, when we looked back through there with the lights and stuff, we didn't see anything.
Really cool.
Hey, you know what? You got a nice crew out in the chat room here tonight. Why don't you introduce some of them?
Oh, man. Greg Jackson's out there. He's our lead tracker. He wasn't able to make the trip this weekend. I think he was the best man at his buddy's ball and chain wedding. So he couldn't make it. So that was on Saturday night. Of course, we came out Sunday. Tony Green's out there. He's our case manager. He was on the expedition. In fact, he was with us actually Friday night, Saturday night, that we were getting whistles that were coming in from up the fire road. And on Friday night, before Tony and them got in, me and Brenda and Brian and Bob Wilson and his wife were also getting whistles from two separate locations. We were running night maneuvers. And we had went one direction, and Bob and his wife went the other direction. And we started getting whistles in front of us, and about 50 yards away, and they would come close, and then they would move back. And I started tree knocking to see if I would, you know, could get a response. And every time I tree knocked, this whistles would come closer to us. And I started hearing a whistle. What?
Sorry. Did you try whistling back at them also?
No, I had on a set of bionic ears, and if I'd have whistled, I'd have blowed my head off. Literally. But no, I was just doing the tree knocks, and when I did the tree knocks, it would move closer to us. And then I started getting tree knocks behind us, not tree knocks, whistles behind us toward base camp. And I got on the radio and hollered up there and asked them if they were whistling, and they said, "Oh, we're getting whistles here." And Bob and his wife was out the other side of base camp from us, and they came back on their radio and said they were also getting whistles. And this went on to off and on probably till about 2 in the morning. It was about 2 when they finally decided, when, you know, me and Tony and Renda and Anna was up on the fire road. So, yeah, it was a pretty exciting weekend. We felt good about it. We found some really good stuff up there.
Did you record any of that? Was there any way to record that?
No, actually, the guy that was, Ron, was supposed to come in Friday night or early Saturday morning, and he was bringing all of the recording equipment that he had so we could do some recording, so we didn't bother taking any with us. And, of course, he wound up having to work Saturday, unbeknown to him and us, so he wasn't able to come in. But we had no recording stuff, so I'm going to definitely carry ours with us next time.
I think there's a way of plugging that bionic ear right into a personal recorder, and it'll record whatever you're hearing. They're only
coming. Yeah, it's got a jack on the back of it. I just had got it like a day or two before we left. Well, I think I got it Wednesday or Thursday of last week. And it does have a jack on back of one of the earphones. So I think that's where to plug in and to a recorder. So I'm going to get me a recorder and do some checking out on it and see how that goes.
Good. So what else? You find any footprints? Did you cast anything?
Well, no, we wasn't able to cast anything. The ground up there is about like it is here around the house. It's Georgia red clay. And I think, you know, it's like Steve said before, you know, the ground's just so hard that you don't leave an impression on it. Now, off the side of the fire road, going back out of camp where Bob and his wife had went, I did find what looked like a track that where it had crossed the road. And it was roughly about 14 inches long. We also took another one down in that same area that you can make out the impression in the leaves where it had scrunched back up. You can make out the foot impression. And it's also about 14 inches long. So pretty much I'm thinking it was the same creature. But I still think we got the family up there that was up there before. So we got a family unit up there because of all the whistles from the different areas that we got on Friday night.
Now the area where you found the broken branch or where you found these possible, prints where they don't make a print deal, but where you think they walk, did you try to do anything on like a, and I use the term loosely too, like a forensic, looking for hairs and such like that, especially where the broken branch was if you think he fell?
Yeah.
Possible knee impression. Did you try to look for any hairs there? I guess, and I can't do this either. I guess we need to start bringing, like, a magnifying glass.
Yeah, actually, I looked with my next guy real close. Jack did also on the broken, around the broken branch, and we didn't find any hair. I agree with you. Magnifying glasses are neat to bring, and I had one I meant to bring, and I, of course, went off and got it. But we did check, and I didn't find any. Even on the tree twist that I found, it was an old tree twist, but you could tell. This was probably a 2-inch round top part of a tree that had grown out of an embankment kind of sideways, and it was like 10 feet off of the ground. And it came out of the embankment toward the trail, probably 10 feet, and was broke at that point where it got to the trail. It was broke, and it was twisted, and was hanging down and touching the trail. But it was an old break. And then on the way back, Tony noticed. He was like, "No, man, you're kidding me." He said, "Look at that." And about 25 feet behind where this twist was up on the embankment was two trees that were leaning against another tree that was straight up. They had been placed there and crossed and was leaning in the same direction of the tree twist. So, which to me would say it was some kind of a direction thing.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Well, yeah, Dan, I've got to tell you, I appreciate you coming on tonight and sharing. And you guys, I'm sure, are going to keep active. It's a pretty active time out there right now, right?
Oh, yeah, it is. Actually, about a week and a half ago, we were sitting, went to bed, and our buddy here came up and slapped the house again on us.
We'll keep in touch. And thanks for coming on and sharing. I'm running overtime a little bit here, but I appreciate you always, Jan, coming on here and sharing with us. And I'll keep in touch with you. And as things progress, we'll have you back on again to share some more. Thank you very much.
All right, you're more than welcome, Marco. Thank you for having me.
Yep. Did you get that stuff I sent you?
Yeah, actually I did. And I'm going to start checking into that.
I'll go over it with you tomorrow.
Okay, great. Okay.
Righty. Get your old star six button. And Alex.
Yes, Mark. Who's
back for our buddy Mitch Waite. Mitch, get your star seven button, friend.
He's in the chat room giving out some good information.
Tell him to deactivate his fingers and activate his lips.
I'm unmuted now.
How are you doing, Mitch?
Oh, I'm trying to get over that flu that's getting everybody.
God, I know. A whole bunch of us got it. So, Alex, let's go, buddy.
Oh, in Arizona, it's hopping. We got, we got Mitch, of course, doing everything that just Arizona Bigfoot does like he does. And,
By the way, I didn't tell you. I got your link posted right below your on the guest list there. So it's posted there. But the Garden of Eden and your checkout of equipment too.
Yes. One thing I've been noticing about that Garden of Eden project, the animal tracks are just really starting to get thick in there. So it's attracting animals like crazy.
And you were talking to me earlier. How do you know that?
Well, I walked around the area and was looking at the prints in the ground. A lot of deer, a lot of elk, a couple of lion prints. And they all seem to be headed in the direction of the Garden of Eden area. They don't seem to be going the other way.
Now you're telling me the apple tree was almost bare?
Yeah, I had one apple tree that probably had 3 or 4 dozen apples on it. And I was looking, hopefully, that I would get to harvest it, maybe some of it. But when I got there, I found this big, huge stick that's probably a good 12 feet long and has a hook on it. And it looks like somebody used that to pull the apples right out of the tree.
Marco, you got to understand a couple of these apple orchards are in farms that, you know, haven't been running farms for 40, 50 years. So the trees are pretty much the only thing standing in the that's left in the ranch. Then sporadically through the area that Mitch and I go, there's, you know, independent apple trees here and there and choke cherries and berries and raspberries and things. So Mitch has, you know, randomly fertilized these and some of them that were in the, you know, ruins of this ranch. And so it's easy to tell which ones have been fertilized and which ones, right, Mitch?
Yeah, it's really easy to tell which ones I've hit.
Well, what's interesting is you found this long stick with a hook on it. It's not a man-made hook. It's just a plain natural hook and a stick, right?
Right.
And it looks like it's been used as a tool for harvesting apples in the tree. I don't think a mountain lion can do that. I don't think a bear can do that.
Mountain lion wouldn't need to.
I'm being facetious, but I mean, there's not too many creatures out there other than a human.
Was it the same type of wood that's in the area, or was it obviously brought there from different set of trees?
What it turned out to be was a small pine tree that had been snapped off at the base, and then all the limbs stripped off of it except for that one hook. And then that hook was probably 4 or 5 inches long to where they could wrap it around the apple and give it a yank, and down the apple would come. So, and then there's other sticks that are in the tree that have been tossed up there, like they tried to knock them out of the tree.
That's pretty interesting.
The apples getting, how big did they get? I guess their growth has ended now. How big did they get?
The ones that I fertilized, they'd fill up my hand. The ones that weren't fertilized that stayed on and set, which weren't very many, those are probably about the size of a little bit bigger than a golf ball, a little bit smaller than a tennis ball.
The ones you fertilized got size?
Yeah, about store bought size.
I missed out. I need to go up and get a few.
You got to put down
any left?
Yeah, I've got one tree that's still got a couple left on it.
Cool. Now, what else?
Next year's going to be a different story. There's going to be a lot of fruit on all those trees.
Yeah, they usually take a year and a half to produce anyways once they've been kind of dormant for a while, right?
Right.
You know, it's 2 years, or however you want to look at it, 2 seasons.
Yeah, I've been hitting them. I've hit them 3 times now with fertilizer, and I trimmed some of them. I'm going to hit them one more time with a good dose before it snows. Yeah, so springtime they really set on with the blossoms and the fruit.
Nice, nice. We'll have to get up there early in the spring and hit them again, and I'm sure you will.
Oh, yeah, this is fun.
Give them one last dose for the winter. Is that how you do it? Winterize them, so to speak?
Yes, because they'll be growing roots during the winter. Of course, the whole idea is to make this the place where Bigfoot wants to come and eat, so I don't have to chase him all over the hills with my game cameras. I can just put it down there in the feeding spots, and he'll come to me instead of me chasing them.
Right, and for anybody that's just tuning in, you didn't just pick this area. This is an area that, you know, we've had a lot of activity, and that's why, you know, we were there and you're there continuing. It's not just an area where you fertilize some trees and hope to overcome. We've had a lot of activity in the area. What's going on? Any sighting reports, any new sound reports, you know, from you or anyone else, or any vocalizations, any whistling this time? And we know that, you know, you've had the whistling just like Jan had. You actually whistled back, and whistled back, and it went on back and forth like a tennis volley a little bit, four or five times. Yeah, you're right.
Right, until I started following one of them, and they told me not to do that by chucking a big rock at me.
And you actually have a video, or you've made a video that plays this sound recording. You can hear the whole ordeal. You can even hear the rock hit the ground. One of my favorites that you have.
Yeah.
They're all on the MoBeyondMonster.com website. But what else? I know you're out in the field all the time. What's the newest report you have? Any good activity from you or in that area or any other area?
Well, I was up there last week before I got sick, and my son and I were spotting the area out over by the rain gauge, the mutilated rain gauge, and
okay.
We found some really good prints in there.
Did we cast?
Didn't cast them. They were not real good prints. You could see the toes. They had a lot of trash in them from the vegetation and stuff like that. But it was very definite, heavy animal with about size 16 feet moving through the area. I've got my my moon phase Bushnell camera, game camera on that area right now, so if it walks through there again, I'll get him.
Awesome. Awesome. And we know if you do, you'll have it right up on your either your YouTube or your MoGeonMonster.com website, things like that.
And on Astro, too.
The AZCRO forum, I know. I always slight myself. I don't tell people enough about the forum and the website. We want to give a quick howdy to Jan and to Steve with their new radio shows, too. So, Mitch, any new reports in the area? Anything new?
Well, I've been getting some reports of some activity over in the South Fork area, east of Springerville. And I've been kind of thinking about going to go check that out while I'm waiting on my game cameras. But a lot of vocalizations going on.
Did you hear about the giant trout taken out of the East Fork? And, you know, and of course, I'm always thinking, I mean, it actually was so big, it had a hooked mouth like a salmon would have. What I'm thinking is, how would this relate to Bigfoot? That's just a small creek. Do you think the Mogollon Monster would be able to catch these giant trout and, or even a smaller trout from the rivers?
Well, more from the smaller creeks because they can do what they call noodling. I used to do it as a Boy Scout there on the West Fork where you just hang your arm over and under the bank and feel for the gills of the fish and then yank him out of there.
You do that with trout, just like, and with catfish, or do you catch catfish that way?
No, you can do trout that way, too. The bigger the trout, the more likely they are to stay put, because they don't want to go out into the main part of the stream.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at with the big one, knowing that he could do something like that. Do you think that would be likely? A big one, I mean, I think one was in the 30-pound range. Some trout in the 30-pound range. And there's a picture up on the AZ.gov fishing website. But, yeah, they like to hang out, be under a rock, under a ledge, just in the edge of the stream, the creek. And it was in a really small area of the creek, right near the campground. And do you think would do this? I think they probably would. I mean, obviously, I guess that's what you said.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're masters.
Yeah, I would think so. And probably some catfish, too, in the other rivers or too, you know. I actually never thought of that, just like the guys do in the south and even around here, noodling, so catfish could do that, too. You know, we had some action last week up in the Washington Pass area that Mike told me about, Navajo Bigfoot. You know what it is all the, and Mitch, you'll know about this, the ranches have gotten round up their cattle and their sheep, probably up in the Four Corners area too, where Casey and Lennon Tan and them are, for the winter. You know, they let them roam a lot in the summer and the spring, and then in the winter they corral them all up again, right, Mike? And the ranch is called...
2 minutes, Mike. 2 minutes, Alex.
All right, I'll be quick. They break up into groups. They go out and they hunt down the cattle and the sheep. And while they were doing it up in the Washington Pass area, they heard some hoots and some howls and some breaking branches and some vocalization. They went into that area and they found some footprints. So Mike wants to get into that area soon. He's in the middle of moving now. But good luck, Mike. We're thinking of you, and I'll be up there as soon as I can. It sounds like a wonderful area. Mitch, thanks for coming on. Marco, go for it.
Well, just I want you to say good night to everybody, and we'll see everybody next week.
Good night, everybody. Bigfoot.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
the hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold, and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mason mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the facts.